Boss Man Show here with Murray Garvin, the coach of South Carolina State Bulldogs. Coach Garvin, how are things going with you guys almost in Carolina there?
All is well, man. It's still hot. You would think it's the middle of July here in South Carolina.
Were you all able to kind of avoid Hurricane Dorian that came through? Has everybody in the community okay? Well, I know you guys are kind of flat down there, so is everybody okay for Dorian being out of the picture now?
Yeah. The hurricane didn't come that far inland this year. You know, last year, Hurricane Matthew had some damage here, some power lines down, some trees down. So this time we were spared here in Orangeburg and didn't have any effects of the hurricane. They just shut down school for a couple of days just to be safe, but there was no problems. So.
Good. Glad to hear that, Coach. And for you, Coach, you're in your seventh year here leading the Bulldogs. So what would you say probably has been your biggest accomplishment in your mind to go to the program in 2012 from Coach Carter there?
Well, in 2016, you know, we were fortunate enough to play in the championship game. Came up 4 minutes short against a very, very talented Hampton University team while they were still in the MEAC. We've graduated a significant number of our student athletes. You know, I think we're around 96-97% of graduating our student athletes, along with being competitive in the conference over the years. We hadn't won the amount of games that I would like, but our programs maintained relevancy, you know, in the conference, and we continue to, you know, just do the best that we can every day.
I'm trying to stress for our listeners here, Coach, that when you coach in the SWAC and the MEAC, or even in the schools in the D2, the SIAC there with Clark and those guys, and the other conferences, that you have to play tough road games, especially the D1 schools, because you have to raise money for the university, so you're on the road pretty much November, December, and then if you get the conference play, it's tougher in the MEAC and the SWAC as well, so the record is deceiving, because not knowing what you have to go through, you know, just to even get to the conference play, then the conference is tough, so it's not as bad a record as people might think from the outside looking in.
Oh, exactly. You know, a lot of people don't have a clue. You know, last year, I think 15 out of our first 18 games were on the road last year. Again, that was 15 out of our first 18 games were road games. And there's a lot of different variables to go into how that happens. I mean, it's not just that we're always looking for road games. There's a lot of teams that will not come and play us at our home arenas around the conference. You know, it's almost virtually impossible to get some schools to come in and play for, you know, different reasons. You know, I found that some schools don't want to come while your students are in session because it'll be so appealing to their student athletes. And then it'll break the misconceptions that they have of what actually goes on at HBCUs, because, as you know, some of our home court crowds are second to none when you get to like-sized schools. And I'm talking about schools that may be in the Big South, the Southern Conference, the Atlantic Sun. You know, our crowds are just as impressive or more impressive than a lot of those conferences.
Exactly. And in HBCU schools, I'm a graduate of Tennessee State University myself, the band, because the added of the band being inside that arena, it throws off those road teams. They don't want to deal with that either.
Oh, man, they're so distracted. You know, it's just like when our freshmen first play their first home game. You know, you'll call the time out, and they're looking around to see what's going on in the stands and who's dancing and what the cheerleaders are doing. So it's an adjustment when teams hadn't played in our atmospheres before.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
And then also you got to throw in the consideration of the money games that a number of our teams have to play, and sometimes that differs from different teams even within the MEAC or the SWAC. You know, some teams are required to bring in more money than others. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that goes into scheduling on the men's basketball side, you know, and I appreciate you even bringing that up, because a lot of spectators, they have no clue, you know, of why there's so many road games for teams in the MEAC and the SWAC.
You got there right, because like I said, outside of football, the way you can raise money is men's basketball or women's basketball. So, and you have to take those lumps. And, like, I know you guys will be playing at Memphis against Penny Hardaway's team, number one recruiting class in the country. The Vandy Invitational with Coach Stackhouse, you're playing Vanderbilt, Wilberforce, and those guys, Austin Peay as well, and Tulsa. So, I mean, so I see you guys have you're playing quality mid-majors as well outside of the MEAC games you're going to play come December there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you want a schedule like that. It prepares you for conference play. You know, another misconception is you play a schedule like that and you think that you'll be overprepared for conference play. And that's not necessarily true. There's a lot of great coaches in the MEAC. You know, you got Robert Jones, you got Lavelle Moten, you got my guy there at North Carolina A&T, Jay Pointer. You got Ryan Ritter at Bethune-Cookman, you know, coach down there at FAMU. They got a new regimen at Morgan State and Howard this year. Maryland Eastern Shore with a new coach. So you got to be prepared for conference play, but the out-of-conference play is a chance to also put your program on a different platform. Mm-hmm. You know, we're opening up in Memphis this year. You know, the number one recruiting class in the country, the opening night of college basketball, which is on a Tuesday where there's no college football, no NFL, Monday night football. So what an opportunity to put South Carolina State on a platform on a national level against a team that all eyes will be watching. So we're preparing our guys this fall to go out there and give a great effort. And, hey, who knows, man? Chaminade beat Virginia. You know, there's upsets in basketball. And we're going to try to be in the best position we possibly can on opening night.
And, Coach, speaking of that, it can only help your brain in recruiting. And I want to ask you, Coach, what type of young men do you recruit to want to get them that HBCU experience and keep young men in South Carolina who more opportunity to play D1 basketball? Because, Coach, what I tell young men is this, Coach, that if you put out good tape and show skills on tape, a scout will find you. It don't matter if you're at South Carolina, South Carolina State, or even upstate. It doesn't matter. If you have good talent, and you show potential, and you put out good film every night, a scout will find you. You'll find yourself playing in the NBA, the G League, or overseas, and where you'll have a career in the game of basketball, if you so choose to, and get an education and an experience from HBCU school that you can't get anywhere else in the country.
Absolutely. You know, after your talent and the abilities that you have on campus, the second thing to me is what type of character do you display as a young man? You know, we're not into hugging thugs here, as the old cliche is. We're not into taking a second-rate talent because we are HBCU. We want the same student-athletes that some of the other conferences may recruit. Again, we offer an education here and an experience that is second to none. Our alumni base is very strong. They come back for homecoming and different games and events. And so we're in recruiting the most talented student-athlete that we can recruit and also a student-athlete that displays tremendous character on and off the floor. And that's what we're after, and that's what we'll continue to recruit. And we've had a good string here the last year or two with getting those type of guys in our program.
And, Coach, I think with yourself, like I said, you can go high school freshman. You can go to the prep school route if you want to, international, grad transfer, or JUCO route. I feel like yourself, like I said, you can use all five avenues to find players to help you guys out, help your program sustain it and be competitive in the MEAC each year.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's what we've done. We have all those different types within our program right now. This past year, we signed maybe two grad transfers. We signed another transfer from Savannah State. With them going down to Division II, some of their kids, you know, they become immediately eligible for Division I. We got high school freshmen and we got junior college transfers. So we covered all that in this past recruiting class. I tell you something that, you know, maybe the nation doesn't quite realize, but last year, we have two out of the top three NBA draft picks came from the state of South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
And that has really impacted the amount of schools that are now raiding the state looking for the next John Morant, looking for the next Zion Williamson. I mean, I think we had a total of five in the NBA draft when you count the Claxton kid that played down in Greenville, South Carolina. And then there's maybe two more gentlemen that had South Carolina roots. But I say that to say the state of South Carolina has really, really grown in their grassroots basketball. And the nation has taken notice again with the NBA draft. You know, what, two out of the top three were from the state of South Carolina. Ja Morant, we were one of the first schools to actually offer him a scholarship before he jumped on the scene. So we're going to continue to chug along and do what we need to do in order to put our best foot forward and then also to position our program to compete for a MEAC championship in 2019-2020.
And, Coach, speaking of that, I know preparation is real key for you guys. So this offseason, what did you guys prioritize as a staff as you did your scouting evaluation of the program that you wanted to make sure you guys improved on from April through now October when things you get going here real soon?
Well, you know, the first thing that we decided that we had to improve on was our defense. Last year, we did not guard the ball to our capabilities. And, you know, to some people's dismay, it takes talent to play defense, you know. And the reason I say that is you think about what is shown on SportsCenter highlights. It's offense, offense, offense. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of kids that, you know, that's all they're into is how can I score the ball? How can I make somebody fall down? Well, the lost art and the object of the game is you have to keep your opponent from scoring as well.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we've went in and we've really broken down our defense and, you know, we've went to a different philosophy defensively and our coaching staff, we've studied a different philosophy and we've been putting that in since summer school. And now the guys, you know, our defense is way ahead of our offense, but I'd like to keep it that way. Because in order to win in March, you have to be able to execute in the half court offensively, and you got to be able to stop people defensively. So you got to have a balance there. But if you're evaluating our program right now, we really have to attack the defensive end of the floor.
And, Coach, who are some young men this summer who are really showing you some things in their games, adding to their games that we can expect some big things from this upcoming season here?
Well, our program is led by our senior power forward, Damani Applewhite. Last year, Damani, I think in conference play, might have averaged around 17 points a game and maybe close to 8 rebounds a game. He'll be returning, and he'll be the anchor of this basketball team. Also, we got a pleasant surprise by a returner that was absent for our program for 2 years now, but now he's a grad transfer named Tashambe Riley. Tashambe was an Orangeburg native that transferred to South Alabama for his fifth year, got hurt at South Alabama. We filed an appeal with the NCAA for a six-year eligibility. He was just granted that about 2 weeks ago, and he's back fold in his junior year. He averaged about 12-7, and he's really expanded his game beyond the three-point line. We added a point guard from Savannah State, Zach Sellers, that to me was one of the top point guards in the MEAC last year. We have about, boss men, 9 seniors in our program.
Wow.
9 seniors. And that's unheard of. It's a good thing for us because we'll probably be one of the oldest teams in the league. We have the most returners probably in the MEAC. And it just sets us up to, you know, try to put a footprint in the conference this year and finish a little bit higher in the standings and hopefully compete on that Saturday morning in Norfolk, Virginia, when all the chips are on the table for the MEAC championship.
And, coaching at the major level, being old is good. Having 9 seniors is good. I mean, it's like you already have a rotation of 9 guys you can play. You can play all older. And you said, you know, those 3 days in March, when it really counts, being old helps. When under pressure-packed situations, when you feel tension,
yeah.
They've been through it before, that helps a lot.
Absolutely. And, you know, and when you go back and look at it, the older teams in our conference have been the best teams. you know, and it's kind of different from the high major schools, because the high major schools, they're after the one and done. We're after the kid that's going to probably be in your program for 4 years, and you watch them grow and mature, and the young men that they come in wearing wife beaters and they walk out wearing a suit and tie. And that's what we're into here at South Carolina State. And, you know, again, nine seniors, man, a lot of them know what I'm going to do before I even tell them. So that's advantage us.
You got that right there, Coach. Who are some coaches in the business really helped you out over the years that you can lean on when you need some help or some guidance that's really been there for you throughout your years of coaching?
Did you say some of the coaches?
Yes, yes, sir. Some of the coaches really had a big impact on you throughout your career here.
Well, there's a coach by the name of Delk. He's a longtime head coach at Carson Newman University, one of the first African-American assistant coaches in the SEC at Vanderbilt back in the day. He's a coach that I lean on. Also, former head coach here at South Carolina State, Tim Carter, had a very successful run at UTSA out in San Antonio, Texas. And I actually came here as an assistant coach under Coach Carter. He's a coach that we keep the phone lines open. And then there's numerous others. Even my high school coach, Ken Trivett. You know, there's just numerous mentors, and I believe that all successful people have a mentor, a mentee, and an equal in their life. And that way it'll help you balance out as you climb the mountain to success in whatever field you may do.
And last one I got for you, Coach, is about the importance, Coach, of HBCU school, because I told you in the earlier interview, I'm a graduate of TSU in Nashville. You know, I love Tennessee State University. It gave me the basis of who I am today. It makes me just care about these schools, all HBCU schools. I care about them equally, and I want y'all to succeed. So for you, coaching us, our young black men, to be husbands, lawyers, businessmen, doctors, and go into the real world after basketball, having that calling on you, how does that make you feel each day, don't you help molding between the 13, 15 young men's lives every day?
Well, you know, the power of a HBCU, first of all, you got to think of the imagery that is projected onto our youth. A lot of times in history books, they only learn about Martin Luther King and slavery. But when you walk into a HBCU, usually in the hallways of those institutions, you have people that look like us. And I'm talking about people of color. You have people of color that have made prominent impacts on our society worldwide. And that is a powerful image that a lot of our African-American students do not get to witness unless they come to a HBCU. You know, so that alone is a very big and influential impact of a HBCU on a young student athlete or a young student's life. You know, with the influx of popularity of HBCUs again in the past year, with Beyonce, with Stephen Curry, giving money to Howard, you know, with Magic Johnson and his ties into HBCUs. I seen the other day that Michael Strahan gave back to Texas Southern. And I believe the philanthropy helps, and it helps bring attention to what HBCUs have been doing around this country for a long time. I believe they will continue to flourish, because even though things are more, we're not segregated as we used to be by law, there's still some under the table segregation that's happening. And, you know, some people don't believe that HBCUs, a lot of us have very diverse student populations, you know. So things have changed, and we've opened the doors for everybody. And, you know, here at South Carolina State, we have students all across the board. We got foreign students. We got, you know, Caucasian students from here in the States. I mean, so HBCU is historically black college and university, but that doesn't mean it excludes people.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes, right, just like we have the opportunity to go to PWIs and that opportunity is open to us, well, sometimes, hey, come take a look at what we're doing.
Exactly.
Come take a look and be a part of what we're doing. You could learn from us just like you expected us to learn from you. So HBCUs, man, I could talk all night about the importance of it and the value and why it's still relevant and why we still need them. As long as we got bigotry and racial hate and things like that going on, we still need to build up our young African-American youth in our way, in our institution. So, you know, I'm the wrong one to say anything negative about HBCU because it's been good to me and it's been a great experience here, even though I didn't graduate from a HBCU. I'll tell you a short story.
Go ahead, Coach.
Went to a PWI. Yeah, went to a PWI. I was an economics major my freshman year. I was the only African-American in the class. I did not come from a family with money, and I did not know anything about economics. It's just something that appealed to me. I was a first-generation college student. I had questions every day in class. The whole class used to bust out laughing when I asked questions. Man, just because I didn't know and I was the only one in that class, I changed my major.
Oh, wow.
Would I have done that if I was at a HBCU? Probably not, because we're producing more accountants, lawyers, judges, doctors, engineers, more than any other type of institution. And it's empowering when you're in classes with people like you. So that's my own personal testimony. God had a plan, and thank God I'm here at South Carolina State.
Well, Coach, I'm glad that I pushed back on my mother's wishes. Living in Atlanta and split home, Coach, you know, my dad's in Atlanta, my mom's in Nashville, Tennessee. She wouldn't go to her alma mater Lipscomb or go to Vanderbilt. I said, no, Mama, I don't want to go to those schools. I want to go to the Tennessee State University where you sent me for youth sports camp where I met Frankie Adams, a five-year-old. I still talk to him to this day. You know, where I met John Cooper, Sal Alexander, Darren Tillis, all Grand Ole Norfolk State. Guys who I still talk to this day because of TSU, those youth programs, and decided that's what I want to go to school at for my college degree. And my mom hated. She wanted to go to her school. Her mom, Lipscomb so bad. But I was like, Mom, Vandy and Lipscomb went for me. I want to go to Tennessee University. That's what I did. And I'm happy 10 years later. After being out of school, I still go over there and have a great time. And I feel like I'm at home at my university. I can go help the young men, tell them where I've been in their shoes as well. So, and look at me. I'm just a radio kid from the Fountain City in Atlanta. But I made it because I went to school, got a degree in business, turned into a radio show. And I'm, which is my own business now. So it's like, so it's experience you can share with these young men, give them hope that they can pull it off, that they go and do the hard work and grind, they can get successful as well.
Absolutely, and that's the plan. My brother-in-law graduated with an engineering degree from Tennessee State University, and he's doing very well. You know, so I know the power of Tennessee State and what it does for young people, and, you know, congrats to you. You just named off a bunch of coaches that have South Carolina State ties or MEAC ties with Jamal Brown, Ty Alexander, Frankie Allen, you know, Don Cooper and all those guys. The coaching community is very small. So, you know, I know all of those men that you spoke about and they're first-class people, and you're running a first-class radio show here. And if there's ever anything that I could do, please don't hesitate to reach out, because it's all about these young people and giving them a platform to showcase their talent, skills, and ability to a nation. And you're always welcome here in Orangeburg.
Coach, I look forward to doing that because it's not that far away from home here for me. Coach, like I said, my mission this year was to give all HBCU schools a platform if I can. That's why I was, that's because I feel like you all deserve the platform, because people kind of look you all and talk about you when something bad happens. Let's talk about something when something good's happening. Let's do that. Let's not only be with something bad happening. So that's where I feel like with a radio program, being in Atlanta, I can do that for you, for all the HBCU schools, because I'm an HBCU grad myself, so I'm going to give back there, pay it forward that way. So anytime I can help out you in your program or talk to you want to come up to talk to your team, I love to do that. I love talking to the teams and your young men and giving them hope and inspiration to keep pushing and doing better. So, Coach, love to help you, love partnering and working with you guys down the road, man. I love to do it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your time, and again, if there's anything that I could do, I'm just a phone call away.
Yes, sir. Coach Garf, thank you. It's been a great conversation with you, Coach. We'll do this again soon, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Take care and God bless.
God bless you too, Coach. That's Coach Garvin of Klein State People on the Boss Man Show.
My heart skips skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay. I think you know what you're doing
to me. You got my... With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, back in the jail, the Boss Man Show. We're kicking off our basketball coverage out of the MEAC with Coach Lavelle Moulton, the North Carolina Central Eagles out of Durham, North Carolina. Coach Moulton, what's good over there in Durham, man?
Man, it's all good, man. It's a blessing, and, you know, just trying to maintain and, you know, contribute to last year's success.
I hear that, Coach. Now, for you, man, you have mad longevity in NCC Central, man. Like, because you've been there for 11 years as a head coach, 2 years as an assistant. So, in your mind, Coach, what has been the greatest accomplishment for you setting up this program in 2009 here as the head man?
Wow, man, you know what? You know, this might surprise a lot of people. You know, when you're coaching, oftentimes you're judged by wins and losses and championships. And don't get me wrong, the wins have been incredible. The losses not so incredible. And the championships have been phenomenal. But I think my biggest accomplishment, honestly, is just the premise on why I got into coaching in the first place. And that's just to change and impact the lives of young men, you know, who look like me. Because I know the difficulties and the challenges that they're going to face out here in this real world. And just being able to give them the manhood principles and just being open and honest with them on what to expect and what not to expect, and having them come back in 2-3 years upon graduation and saying, Coach, thank you so much, man. You prepared me to be a man in this world. Like, that's been my biggest accomplishment.
Yes, indeed, Coach. Like you said, coaching at HBCU school was very important. It's very key to our young black men because, you know, I went to Tennessee State University, so I got to know Coach Alexander real well, Darren Tillis, right. Jamal Brown, who's down at Norfolk State. So those guys are key guys in my life. So I know right. Being at HBCU school, raising up young men, because a lot of us come from homes of our fathers, or you know, we need right. that male guidance. So having strong yeah. black men coaches to take us in as a stepson and show us the way has been key to my life for sure. I know the guys who play for you as well.
Right, no doubt about it. That's what it's all about. That's the premise of coaching. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand this, or a lot of people didn't know this. I think I revealed it last year. But when I got into coaching, I was, you know, completing my career overseas, and I was somewhat at a professional crossroads. My former coach at North Carolina Central, Greg Jackson, was now at Delaware State. He offered me a job for $85,000. In the same week, my former seventh grade teacher, who was their principal, assistant principal at West Millbrook Middle School, she offered me a job for $225 a month for 3 months. So I had to make a decision, and I chose the $225 a month for 3 months, which is $675 for the year. And I chose that over $85,000 because I wanted to make an impact on young men that looked exactly like me. And so the premise of why I do what I do has never changed, and I just think that's helped me be successful.
And, Coach, like, longevity-wise, there's not many coaches who are at a place 11 years as the head coach. I talked to Buck Joyner last week. He's going 14th year at right. Hampton, a guy who used to go up against when they went to the Big South. So I know it's real good to have longevity. And I also asked your alma mater as well. So I know, Coach, I know it's kind of cliche, but how do you go about keeping that longevity going? How do you make it somewhere 11 years, even though it's your alma mater? So how do you go about doing that?
Right. You know, obviously in this day and age, you know, the reality is you do have to be successful, you know, to stay that long. They're not giving you 6-7 years to build a program. Patience is no longer a virtue in the sports and entertainment world. You know, people want it right now, and it's the what have you done for me adage. But I think the best thing that works for me, and I can't speak for everyone, I don't even worry about it, because I think the problem is people worry about their longevity and their job, and they're looking 2-3 years down the road, and they begin to panic, and you lose focus of the now. You lose focus of the moment. You lose focus of the present. And, man, I've just always put my trust in God and just went out there and did the best that I could. And he brought me this far, and I just figured, I know he can't drop me off and uncharted waters out here. So that's been the premise of why I've done what I've done, and I've always focused on the now, not trying to look ahead and, you know, you just do the work that's required at that present moment. And then after a while, you look up and you have, a career, some tenure, some longevity, you know. And I tell our team all the time, and I use the analogy, like, you know, if you're building a mansion, you don't worry about how big the mansion is. Like, you just lay one brick at a time as perfectly as you possibly can. And once you lay that brick, you get the next brick, and you lay that next brick as perfectly as you possibly can. And when you do that over a course of time, when you take a step back, you look up and you realize, I have a mansion. But if you just focus on the mansion, I don't know if you'll ever get it done, because you're like, oh, man, I don't know if I ever get to all of that. So, you know, perspective has always been huge for me. And having mind over matter has always been huge for me, man. And I just tried to focus on the present.
Amen to that, Coach. And Coach, also kind of evaluating your program. So I know this summer you guys do a self-scout, some evaluation. So this summer, what did you guys focus on as a staff to better the program going here in the 2019-2020 season here, starting up here real soon?
Yeah, we're getting up after it, man. And, you know, we've had some turnover in terms of staff, and we always have that. And that's just part of it. When you win a couple of championships, people want to pluck from that tree. And we get it. We understand it. We embrace it. And then we just try to respond. And after we respond, we just, you know, right now we're just working as hard as we possibly can. We're working as hard as we possibly can to, you know, just make sure we keep this thing in the road. And we're motivated. Why? Because this group has not accomplished anything. And I remind them every single day, like, stop riding the coattails in the backs of the people or your predecessors that were before you. Because you can't live off their glory. You got to build a legacy of your own, because we haven't won anything together as this particular group. So that's the goal.
Exactly, Coach. And this summer, I know you're happy you had those 4 hours to work out with your guys. So who are some young men you want to kind of point out to really improve this summer, getting better mentally, physically, emotionally, and also on the court as well?
Randy Miller, he's returning. I think he was our second leading scorer last year. Jabri Blunt, Jordan Perkins. With the addition of C.J. Kaiser, the transfer from Wichita State, we feel great about him. We got a kid named Evan, and we had a transfer from East Carolina, Justin Watley. So we like our team. We like the roster. We like the intricate parts that we bought in to kind of, you know, serve and assist, you know, what we currently have. And, we'll see. Right now, We look really good because we're playing against cones and chairs. You know, they just don't jump back or guard you the way somebody else would. But we beating those cones and those chairs every day. We look really good against them.
You got that right, Coach. And also, I feel like, Coach, for young men at HBCU schools like yourself, you out here got to get ready for that tough non-conference schedule, because a lot of people don't realize in the SWAC and the MEAC, you guys have to play guarantee games to raise money for your university. So
yeah.
The record in that you see November and December does not tell you the story about the team, because really,
absolutely,
all it really reminds is that weekend in Norfolk, Virginia, that you get hot days and get that stick to the big dance. So that's what really,
that's
like, you want to peak then, but people get look at the swagger, oh, they're having a bad year. No, they have to play guarantee games against high majors to raise money and great mid-majors, too, for the university. So I try to tell people all the time, the schedule you all got to play is kind of different. So you can't judge you about what happens in November and December.
Without a doubt. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's the most important facet of a program is scheduling outside of recruiting. And to be honest, we just finished scheduling yesterday. So that's how difficult it is for us. It doesn't matter who we call. We can't get games. So now we just got to play teams that's up, because we can't get quote-unquote like opponents. It's really difficult for us to get teams within the state of North Carolina or neighboring that can touch our state. So we always got to travel and go play guarantee games, or what I call soft guarantee games, where a team is still not giving you 85,000, 90,000. Giving you 35,000 or 40,000, which means technically they're not really on the same wavelength as you, and you know, it's a difficult game to win.
You got that right. So, you know, like I said, I wish more people understood the dynamics of scheduling for MEAC and SWAT schools, because it's not as easy as you guys think. Like, you just schedule today, because a lot of the schools in the conference I mentioned aren't even out on the website yet. And I know personal coaches who told me they're trying to find games in September, you know? So it's a daunting process at best.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You hit the nail on the head with that.
Now, Coach, North Carolina is full of great schools. So how do you pitch them in North Carolina to come to North Carolina Central and not, you know, just go to East Carolina or, you know, other schools in the state, or go down South Carolina to maybe a Wofford maybe, or go to Winthrop? Yeah. So how do you keep guys in the state and marketing programs and say, hey, this, you can still play good here. You put out good film, a scout will find you. I don't care what school you go to. If you put out good film and good work, you'll be playing professionally somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as the game has evolved, I think more and more kids begin to understand that. But there's always the dream of someone going to the highest level. I'm not mad at them about that. You know, we all, even though we married, we all had dreams of Beyonce and Halle Berry. You know, I get it. I understand it. But what we try to tell kids is the fact that, you know, you're not just signing a four-year scholarship with us. You're signing a lifetime scholarship. And, you know, I think we've had 45 pros in 10 years since I've been here. So we're producing pros as well. So we market that because most of the time when kids play basketball, they do want to eventually evolve into a professional vocation. And then we tell them when the ball stops bouncing, we'll be here to help you as well. And we're going to make sure that you receive your education properly. You know, so we try to sell them on the lifetime and the totality of the experience outside of just this 2-3 year, 4 year regime that you may come in and now we kick you to the curb when you can no longer jump up and shoot a basketball for us.
Exactly. And I feel like if you're at Central, you can definitely do it all five ways. You can do it high school seniors, JUCO ways, prep school, grad transfer, just a regular set transfer and play 2 or 3 years for you. Or it also, you can be an option for guys who go to Duke, Carolina, and don't get any playing time and want to get some playing time and come down to Central and get some playing time they want at Duke and Carolina and then get it.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. So, you know, it's a variety. You know, we've kind of recruited, you know, non-traditionally. You know, it's no longer the four-year guy, you know, because in our league, you know, you're going to be playing against some guys that's pretty much transferred from four-year or Power 5 institutions. So you got to be on your best. And again, at the end of the day, the body of work throughout the year, that really doesn't matter. What really matters, or what ultimately matters, is those 3 days in March. You know, how do you play those 3 days in March? So, you know, the best thing to do is have some kids with some experience, some kids that has an element of mental toughness that can fight their way through some adversity and get you through.
Now, Coach, who are some of the guys in the business who's really been a big impact on your career, and those guys you turn to when you have a question or an issue just to bounce things off of? I know a lot of guys in the business are y'all real close because the business is not that big. So who are some guys who you kind of really lean on and who really has your back in this business of coaching here?
You know what, believe it or not, the guy that I'm probably the closest to is Mike Tomlin from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's been superb, man, and he's taught me and helped me and educated me more than any basketball coach that that's in our vocation, and that's good. I think I've been good for him and he's been good for me, because the reality is oftentimes, you know, they are wolf dressed in sheep's clothing, you know, so they just trying to get information from you when they're in your business. But, you know, with Mike, we're not competing against each other. It's just like, you know, genuine love from the two dudes who have a bunch of shared values and both come from humble beginnings, that God has blessed abundantly to be in the positions that they are. So we just build and try to learn off each other, man. And I've learned tremendous things from him. John Calipari is close. Roy Williams is close. Coach K is close. They're 5 and 10 minutes away. And I always said, look, if I'm a startup business in town and I got Warren Buffett and Bill Gates 5 and 10 miles away from me and I don't cultivate or foster that relationship, then I'm crazy. You know, so
exactly.
They've been superb. And anything we need from them on their behalf, You know, they supported us. They helped us out. You know, they've come and they've spoken at our tip-off banquet, you know, and, you know, these guys, they charge a significant amount of money to come speak anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want them, but, you know, they've always looked out for me. And I think they both don't see themselves as who they are now. They see themselves as who they were when they began in the inception of their career. And so they have a sympathy and an empathy for me and a willingness to help and, you know, do that for me. So it's been nothing but a blessing to be assembled with those guys.
And, Coach, I want to ask you about the MEAC as a whole. I know Hampton left went to the Big South. So how do you view the MEAC now without Hampton? I think it's still a great conference because, I mean, you got guys doing major work. Ryan Ritter down there at Bethune, Cookman doing major work. Jay Joyner down over at A&T as well. Of course, I mentioned Coach Robert Jones and my man Jamal Brown at Norfolk State. And plus, you doing your thing as well. Supply State is getting better as well. Down there with Coach Garvin there. So, it's a conference that's got a lot of great coaches as a whole, Coach. And so, if you could, let's tell our listeners a little bit about the MEAC. I know about it and you know about it, but can you tell our listeners, give them a little taste about how great the conference really is and they should really watch out for the ball this year.
It's really good, man. You got some amazing coaches who I respect immensely. And it's really difficult for us night in and night out because, you know, with your success comes that bullseye on your back. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be able to respond to that bullseye, and everyone is not equipped to handle that. So, you know, the fans, the crowd, the band, everybody, when we come to town, it's going to be jumping. The arena has a different electricity and a different feel and a different type of environment than what you're used to. But we welcome it. We embrace it. It's a good brand of basketball with some great coaches, you know, from Norfolk to A&T to South Carolina State to Bethune-Cookman. They've been really good. Howard is making a run, you know. So every team is going to give you their best shot, man. So, you know, when conference play comes, throw all the records out the window, man. I know that's kind of cliche, but throw those records out the window, man, and you know, put your mouthpiece in and lace your boots up because it's going to be a walk.
That's what I got for you, Coach. See, Coach, we're foodies around here, Coach. We're big foodies. So, Coach, where are some great places to eat around the campus of A&T and down there in Durham, man?
Man, it's, I don't know too much about A&T, but down in Durham, and it's, you know what, I'm not a big eater, man. Like, I'm the guy that eats all his kids' snacks, so that's my problem. My pantry is my problem because it's fruit roll-ups and Pop-Tarts and Rice Krispie Treats, everything you loved as a kid, man. You got to have a strong discipline to turn that down when you're watching it every day. My kids are 10 and 6, so, you know, the discipline to turn your back away on that and the willpower to do that is what's killing me. But we got some great restaurants, man. I encourage you to try Dame's Chicken and Waffles.
Okay.
And then for the desserts, when you come down, see my boy Key and tell him I sent you at Favorite Desserts, man. Shout out to Favorite Desserts. But Dame's Chicken and Waffles, man, you'll love that. And those are the two spots that I highly recommend.
Coach, being a guy from Atlanta who loves chicken, love any kind of chicken I'm good with. So that's right in my wheelhouse right there. And throw in a nice waffle with it. That's right in my wheelhouse. I got one more for you, Coach. How often you guys recruit down here in Atlanta? Because there's a lot of players around here, Atlanta area, around Georgia.
Yeah, we have some Georgia kids, you know, and it's not Atlanta. It's really like those suburbs that's touching. We had one from Sewanee. We had one from I can't think of the high school right now. Oh, man. Good Lord. It's the one that J.J. Hickson went to.
Okay, Lord, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know what everyone's talking
about.
Yeah,
I just lost my mind. I just lost my mind, man, for a minute. But, no, we stay in Georgia, man. Like, that area has been good to us. Definitely been good.
Yes, indeed, with Coach. We'll definitely be cheering for you guys, man. Look forward to talking to you down the road, Coach. Great to finally catch up with you, man. And best of luck to you guys as you get ready for November here, Coach.
You know it. Much love, man. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, Coach. That's Lavelle Moten here on the Boss Man Show.
My man.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Falls back in the Boss Man Show. Got one of my truthers on the show with me. A guy who I've been cool with since his days in Tennessee. We've had him on the show doing top three with Tindall to kind of give you a tip off who it is. He's now the new head coach of the G League's Grand Rapids Drive. It's my man, Coach Donnie Tindall, back in the bed, Boss Man Show again. Coach, what is good up with you, man?
Boss Man, it's great to hear your voice, buddy, and glad to be back on your show. Everything's good. We're just getting ready for training camp here in Detroit with the Pistons. Then our training camp will start a couple weeks after that here in Grand Rapids. So excited to get it going, that's for sure.
Coach, I know you joined the Pistons organization last year when Coach Casey got the job. We used with Toronto. The Raptors not 905. So what sold you on joining Coach Casey's program, the G League team, as an assistant last year, and then finally getting the job as the head man? What was that process like, Coach?
Well, the biggest thing is Coach Casey has been unbelievable to me, Boss Man. He's a guy that we have a couple real close mutual friends. We connected through them. You know, he's had some in-state issues when he was in college and was unfairly treated and kind of knows the situation or the shoes that I'm in. And I think, you know, probably had a little bit of a soft place in his heart for me years ago. Invited me to summer league my first year after the Tennessee deal didn't work out, and got to know him, therefore got to know Coach Jerry Stackhouse, who's a great friend of mine, and Coach Casey got me hired with the 905. And then when he came here to Detroit, he said, hey, I'd love to get you back in the gym here under me in Grand Rapids, see how things play out. And I was assistant coach this year. We had a good team, went to the playoffs, and when the coaching change was made, he offered me the position, and I was with him in summer league. We went out to L.A. for 5 weeks and worked out a lot of the young players out there Monday through Friday for 5 weeks, and now I've been down in Detroit working out a lot of the players in kind of mini volunteer workouts, mini camp type stuff, and then training camp starts October 1. So it's been a whirlwind, but the bottom line, JR, is all the credit goes to Coach Casey. If he would have never given me this opportunity, I wouldn't be the head coach in Grand Rapids, and I'm very, very thankful and appreciative of him.
And I'm glad Coach Casey did it for you because, he's an NCAA trouble as well. So is a guy I know very well, Quinn Snyder, who was with the Hawks for a while. They're a coach of Utah Jazz. So, Coach Tindall, I feel with your coaching prowess that you can keep rebuilding yourself, show that you are even a pro coach now, make that leap from G League coach to the assistant coach on the NBA bench to eventually a head coach because you're young enough to do that. You know, Coach Casey's in his 60s and still doing his thing. So you're only in your 50s. So you still got time. So I feel like you have a lot ahead of you. And I'm just glad you had the opportunity to do this because you are a coach at heart. You're a great person and a great developer of young men. This is a great spot for you to get your feet wet in the NBA game and keep on moving forward, Coach.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I think, you know, you look at Coach Casey and Coach Snyder, those are two guys that both had NCAA issues at one point in time in their career and rebounded to get in the NBA and work their way up the ladder and eventually become head coaches. And you know, I would be, I would be misleading you or lying to you if I didn't say that was a goal of mine. However, the biggest thing I used to tell my assistant coaches that wanted to be head coaches at some point was you've got to do a great job every single day in the role you're in, and then all that other stuff will take care of itself. So the biggest thing for me is to try to do an incredible job for Coach Casey and the Pistons organization here in Grand Rapids. Just as you said, things we've done in the past in regard to developing young men both on and off the basketball court, and hopes that someday, whether it's this year, at some point this year, or down the road a year or two, these guys can help the Pistons organization hopefully win a world championship someday. So that's my job, and if I don't do my my job well and good here, then the bottom line, I'll never get those other opportunities. So that's my primary and only focus, is to grow these guys, get them better. Certainly you want to win games along the way and improve as a coach, but I'm just trying to do everything I can to help the Pistons organization develop these young guys.
Now, Coach, is it will it be like what you are on the same thing that Coach Casey runs with the Pistons? Would it kind of be the same thing, like a true minor league system where what the offense he runs, defense he runs, the schemes he runs up there, the Pistons, the big team, Detroit, you run down with Grand Rapids as well? Or is kind of, you kind of put your tweak on what goes on in Grand Rapids?
No, I would say 90%, maybe 95% of everything we do here with the Grand Rapids Drive Boss Man will be the same thing Coach Casey does with the Pistons, because what you don't want to do is have your guys go up to play for the Pistons or get called up, whatever you want to refer to it as, and not understand his system or not be ready to roll in his system. And so the terminology will be the same both offensively and defensively. The schematic things at both ends of the floor are going to be mostly the same. I mean, certainly there'll be an occasion where you may add a wrinkle here or a wrinkle there based on your personnel or a certain game plan that's coming up. But by and large, we're going to do exactly what the Pistons do, and hopes, again, that we can develop these guys and get them used to the climate and culture that Coach Casey wants. And so when they make that step up, they're ready to go.
And the roster-wise, you probably don't know who your roster is yet because of the Exhibit 10s, training camp invitees, open tryouts, allocations from the G League themselves. So do you kind of have an idea who your roster may be or some of the guys you have, or you really don't know until after all the dust settles from training, the Pistons making their cuts and G League guys being free and signing with you guys? So how does that all work for you guys?
Well, that's a great question. I know you have a better sense of things than most people, but it is a very convoluted type system in regard to how you get your players and the time that it takes to shake out. It's both long in the fact that you won't know your roster probably till November 1st. It's also short because we start training camp October 28th and we play November 7th. So you're really going to have to make roster decisions within about a 7 to 9 day window. We do know we'll have Jordan Bone and Lewis King are what they call two-way players. They're actually signed as Pistons, but they'll probably spend part of their time, or at least some of their time, here in Grand Rapids playing for our G League team. We'll have a couple Exhibit 10 players. Dante Hall and Todd Withers, a returning player. Dante Hall is a rookie from Alabama. I know those two guys will be with us. And then we've got two or three pretty good returning players included in that group. Again, would be Todd Withers, Dakari Allen is a returning wing player. Marcus Thornton is a possibility, a former LSU star that played 7 or 8 years in the NBA, was with us last year. So we have his rights. He hasn't made up his mind what he's going to do yet. But, you know, there's so many different ways to land your players at this level. It's kind of complex, but at the end of the day, I think we're going to put together an athletic team. We're going to put a group of guys together that, like Coach Casey wants with the Pistons, that are going to play the right way. They're going to play unselfishly, and they're going to be tough and gritty defensively, and those are always the type of teams I had and coached in college too. So I think Coach Casey and I think a lot alike. I certainly follow his lead and guidance and everything we do in here in Grand Rapids, but it's nice when you already kind of have the same background or pedigree or mindset as your boss, and I think that's exactly where we sit. He's the guy I look up to and respect, and yet we do have a lot of the same philosophy, so I'm kind of used to the way he thinks and does things already.
Now, in G League, Coach Sindel, do you guys play like more guys than you normally? Like, I know in the NBA you may play 8, 9 guys, but will you play maybe 10, 11 guys to get a look at some different guys to see what they can do? Because it's real developmental league more than anything. Like you said, you want to win, yes, but you want to develop guys as the bigger picture here. So will you be playing more guys in the rotation than usual because you're trying to get guys to look to see what they can do for the Pistons maybe down the road?
Well, I think the biggest thing is this, you know, part of developing as a player, Boss Man, is winning and doing the things you have to do to win, whether that's improving individually, whether that's playing the right way, whether that's taking the right shots, whether that's defending and rebounding the basketball at the defensive end. So I say all that to say we'll play 9 or 10 guys. After that, you're probably going to inhibit or hamper your chances to win the game if you start trying to play 10 or 11 guys, and certainly winning isn't the be-all and end-all at this level, but you know, you're not going to have 11 or 12 guys that can play for the Pistons. In all reality, you're going to have maybe 3 to 5 guys that will one day have a chance to be NBA players. The rest of the guys are great players, but they're either going to, you know, make their money someday in Europe, or they're going to continue to play in the G League because they want to stay here in the States and just love the game and enjoy playing. So, and again, 9 or 10 guys. Again, like you said, the NBA is probably 8 or 9. Our deal is probably going to be 9 or 10. And as long as the season is, boss man, guys are getting banged up and nicked up and tweak an ankle here or have a sore back there and miss a game or two. So everybody ends up getting a chance if you're on the roster at some point in time.
Well, Coach, I have December 8th at 2 p.m. Circle on Sunday in College Park at the Gateway Center to see you guys play. So, and Coach, I will say this out loud, and if I get your offer, I will. I'm cheering for you that day. Okay?
Well, you know, we don't have many games in the South, and as you know, I spent my entire coaching career in the South, so I've already had about 50 people hit me up from Mississippi, Tennessee, Louisiana, Kentucky that are going to be at that game. So we may actually have a little cheering section on the road, and for the G League, that's pretty rare. So just bring your signs and your banners and everything. I'll be looking for you, bro. That's for sure.
Yes, Coach. I said, look, Donnie's my true friend in real life, so I'm cheering for him. Screw that. So,
plus, I'm buying you dinner the night before, so you better be cheering for me.
Hey, you got there right. Always makes it easier to cheer. Well, I'll tell you what, Coach, I'm so happy for you. As far as your friend, I'm happy for you. But I'm just happy that you persevered, overcame. And, you know, like I said, I've told you this before. I took bullets because I was defending you the way I did, but I'm glad I did it. And I'll do it again because you're a great person. You got a raw deal. And the Lord had your back, and you've came through this storm, and now look at you on the way back up, and I'm definitely happy for you and proud of you. I look forward to seeing your growth and the bigger and better things you'll be doing as you go on this journey, man. I was happy for you, Coach. I just really am.
Well, I really appreciate you, man. You're one of the few guys out there that has remained a true and loyal friend to me, and, you know, it's interesting. You find out kind of who's with you and who isn't when things go bad, JR, and you've been with me every step of the way. I'll never forget that, and I appreciate it, and you're right. We're blessed. The Lord has a plan, and this is his plan for me, and he's helped me get through some dark days. But you know what? Friends like yourself have helped me a ton as well, and I appreciate you, buddy.
Anytime, buddy. Hey, Coach, have a great night, man. We'll talk to you real soon, brother, and I'll see you December 7th and 8th in Atlanta, man.
Yes, sir. All right, take care, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, now it's Donnie Tindall on the Boss Man Show.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student-athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting or Twitter at Coach TWill24 or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-6079. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.